You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. 10-game action for a Tuesday, and I see already in chat at people throwing hostilities towards old Tyler Glass. Now, the guy was coming off a remarkable game. And yesterday, well, maybe not so much. At an exorbitant price point as well, 6 runs in 5 innings, 5 strikeouts. Baseball can bring you to your knees, so to speak.
It can definitely humble you quickly. Fortunately, I was on the other side of that one. Good night for me. Almost a great night. Finished in third in the 250 4-entry max.
Nice.
And a couple other lineups up there. I played Glass now in 2 of my 4 lineups. The other 2 obviously were much better. I played a combination of Glass and Lugo and Kirby. And finally, using some Seattle bats paid off.
It finally did. Man, I tell you what. I thought they were going to let Kirby come out for another inning. I mean, 89 pitches through 6. Looked like he had a shot there to get one more frame. But still, not a bad start. Got the win. 6 innings, 2 runs. Were there any other spots that stood out from yesterday? Like Lugo, no surprise, shut down the White Sox, but only 4 strikeouts. Not a huge surprise there. Any other spots that stood out to you yesterday?
2 things stand out. 1, the fact that you knew or not whether Kirby was going to come out, because I was long asleep by that point. So props to you on that. Second of all, the stack that stood out to me, or the thing that stood out to me, was not only was Glasnow bad, Washington's stack was really good. It ended up being in a lot of winners.
Really? Actually, winning lineups played Washington, huh?
I mean, even in like the 250, which is a much smaller field, higher dollar, their main hitters were like 3-5%. So not like 1%. Abrams had like a 25 spot. The only teams that really did anything were Washington, Seattle, Milwaukee, and a little bit San Diego. But there were a lot of letdowns. Bobby Witt just missed a grand slam, like 104 exit velo. I know he was one of the most popular players on the slate. So as you said at the beginning, baseball will find a way to get you on your knees.
Yeah, it will. And by the way, not on this slate yesterday. It was one of those 640 or 650 games, but dude, that Phillies offense stinks right now.
Oh, God.
You got Cal Quantrill, almost 80 degree temperatures and sunny at Citizens Bank Park, like perfect hitting weather. This guy can't strike out anybody. You've got 5 guys with 25%+ strikeouts on the Phillies right now. They're like, all right, this is the most opportune get right spot against, you know, not an extreme ground baller, hitter friendly park, already giving up a ton of power, ton of hard contact, ton of barreled balls. And it takes them until the 9th inning from Pache to get the winning run in. And in the 10th. I mean, really just a disaster. Sean said Phillies have been atrocious versus righties all season. Yeah, dude, they have a sub-70 WRC+. What I'm saying, though, Sean, is that if you ever have a get-right spot as the weather starts to turn in a great park against a guy that just outright stinks, they still plated 1 run against him across 7 innings or whatever he pitched. Like, unreal.
And there's something to be said for, yeah, they haven't been great to start the season, but we know who this Philly lineup is, and the season's been like 2.5 weeks. So, yeah, the fact that they've been struggling against righties is surprising in itself. The fact they couldn't get right against Cal Quantrill is disappointing. Nola was dominant yesterday also.
Yep. Yeah, Nola was excellent. And we got 10 games to talk about. We'll do it as we did yesterday. Again, experimenting with new formats. Like, I think ultimately it'll be beneficial to you guys. You know, we won't be spending as much time on games. Like, yeah, so nobody, I don't think Greg or I discussed in depth like a Washington National stack yesterday, but sometimes things will be missed. They had a 3-run total.
That's not baseball.
By the way, not that anybody here is saying, oh, you didn't talk about Washington, obviously. But I'm saying there's just spots that you're not going to get to. So we'll look at pitching. We'll go by tier. A few of them today standing out at the top. And they're not crazy priced either. Two of whom come from the exact same game. Then we'll get into some good stacking options. My stack exposure after running the Sims right now, very spread out. So let's dive into it. Pull up the top stacks, top pitchers tool, projections, ownership, get the Sims up and running, and let's make it happen. Now, before we do, hit that thumbs up, please. Atone for your sins here on a Tuesday morning. Take one single second. Hit that thumbs up. And if you hate this show, hit the thumbs down, but make sure to do it twice. Also, leave a comment down below. Appreciate you for that. Helps us. Goes a long way. We read and respond to all of them. And if you ever want to listen in podcast form, we're out there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We got you covered if you don't want to listen on YouTube. And leave a review and a rating. We like that. All right. So there's a couple of things I want to start off with, but I think number one, looking at pitching, I'm going straight to the Cincinnati and Seattle game, Matt, because it is T-Mobile Park last year was the most pitcher-friendly venue in all of baseball, okay? Fewest runs, some of the least power that you're ever going to get across the board, like lowest weighted on base average. I could go on and on, right? There's some other good pitcher parks, but this is undoubtedly one of the, if not the best. 7-run total in this game. Logan Gilbert, Hunter Green. Both teams looking at implied totals of 3.4 and 3.8 for Cincy and Seattle, respectively. Hunter Green can give up some runs, but he's made all three of his starts in Cincinnati. Dude has serious strikeout upside against the Seattle team that's striking out at the second highest clip versus righties on the year, highest in the league dating back to the start of last season. And then Logan Gilbert, I'm a huge fan of this guy. I think he's good, but he could be great. He added to his arsenal this past spring, and it's already making a difference. Pitching starts with this game, and that's where we've got to begin. You're muted. Man, I set you up beautifully, only for you to come back muted. And amazingly, you're still muted.
I don't know how that happened. I do not know how that happened. That is my fault. I will not live that one down for a while. So pitching.
Live it down. It happens, man. Go
ahead. So pitching starts in that game. Oddly enough, my favorite pitcher on the slate is not in that game. It's one of the other guys getting love. But Gilbert and Green both look great in their own right. I think they might be getting a little bit too much credit for this spot, but that's quibbling a little bit. You know, Green's the top pitcher in our top pitcher tool, close to a 25% chance of being a top two guy on the slate. The ownership's there, projected for the highest ownership on the slate. It was nice to see Seattle get going last night, not going to lie. I don't think that hurts Green at all. I just think it shows you that while Seattle strikes out a lot, they also have upside if the pitcher's off. So Julio Rodriguez had been awful to start the year, like basically an automatic strikeout every time he went to the plate. He got going a little bit. I don't like the matchup for Green as I did maybe a week ago. But again, he still looks like the best pitcher on the slate just because of his price tag combined with his strikeout upside.
Here's why I like him. Number one, as you just pointed out, the price tag, in my opinion, is lower than it should be.
Great.
He has a career 30% strikeout rate, right? Career 14.5% swinging strike rate. These are really good numbers. Yesterday, you saw them tag Frankie Montas. He only had one strikeout. It happens. We saw Chicago go out there and the White Sox after scoring like 16 runs in 20 games or whatever it was. And they go out and once in a while put some run. it doesn't necessarily dissuade me from going to Green, though, because he could give up runs and at the same time still have 9 strikeouts. Like, I think there's some, unless he just completely unravels. The guy definitely has struggled with walks, you know, career walk rate of 9%. It happens with high K pitchers sometimes. I get that. But also, you look at the home runs that he's allowed. That's been an issue. It's going to be an issue when you pitch at Great American Ballpark. I would say this is probably the best change in pitching environment outside of Coors Field, really, that any pitcher could get.
It's up there for sure, if nothing else. And I'm with you on the price tag, like, especially when you consider a guy like Cease shouldn't be $1,700 more. Green is too cheap. So I understand why he's getting the love. And I'm with you. Just because Seattle was good yesterday doesn't mean hardly anything for today as far as Green's upside goes. So he looks really good. The ownership is there. We're not telling anyone a story they can't read themselves, but he looks really good, and so does Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert on the, and somebody mentioned in chat, I think it was, I lost it. Anyway, the highest owned pitcher today would be Hunter Green. Could definitely see that. No doubt about it. It was Ron. I will say, though, I ran the Sims, which factors in, and of course we're waiting on, I don't know if we got it officially yet. Did we get Landon Knack as the, I don't think he's official yet. Just making sure. My point is, when you don't have the starter listed for a team, it can throw things out of whack a little bit. I don't think it should be too bad here, though, because we have him probable and we have him projected in our projections, ownership, and the Sims. Yeah, we don't have anybody yet. But I, even with the ownership right now, I was still getting highest exposure of any player, any pitcher, Hunter Green right now at 55%. So,
yeah,
you know, it just goes to show that maybe he's too cheap. Maybe the upside is too big here. All of that stands out. Logan Gilbert, though, on the other side. Look, Cincinnati has proven that they have some power. Granted, they've played a lot of games at Great American already, and this is a massive downgrade in park shift for them. But they strike out a lot, too. You know, there's a team right now against righties that has a 26% strikeout rate. We saw Kirby, who's not a prolific strikeout pitcher, but he went out there 6 strong innings yesterday, 6 strikeouts. I thought he could have gone 7, but Logan Gilbert, to start the year, 30% strikeout rate, walking batters at sub 4%. He's got some great stuff.
Yeah, we've talked about the Seattle rotation, and Gilbert's just next in line here. Castillo was really good in his last start. Kirby was good yesterday. I expect the same from Gilbert today. I don't think his upside is quite as high as Green's, but I think he's got a higher floor. I feel more comfortable with him, if that means anything. I like him a lot at home. I mean, he's one of the up-and-coming premier pitchers in baseball. This spot is risky, kind of like Green's spot on the other side of this game, but there's certainly upside here. You get Cincinnati on the road. I like him a lot.
What do you do with a guy like Dylan Cease today? Because his price tag is far higher than everyone else. Just pull up DraftKings for that matter. 10-7. Next highest price pitcher is Logan Gilbert at 95. Brady Singer at 92. Hunter Green at 9K. He's really just in a tier of his own right now against Milwaukee.
It's hard to want to spend up on a pitcher against Milwaukee right now. Obviously, when that pitcher isn't like a, you know, DeGrom or Glasnow, even considering his start last night. Cease is good. He's not those guys. He seems too expensive here. I will say, though, the ownership is really intriguing. Slightly lower top two pitcher projection than Green. A third of the ownership, though.
Yeah, he's pulling nothing right now. I mean, you have Green getting 34%. You've got, we'll get to Lance Lynn, 31%. More so talking about these higher price guys. Logan Gilbert at 30%. And then at 8.8 is Dylan Cease. Also, I should point out, and I'm sure you've noticed this, you do not have ownership even close to evenly distributed across like even 12 pitchers today with 20 of them going. You have four guys of 30%+, then nobody else above 15. So yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have 13 guys in our stochastic ownership projections, 13 out of 20 projected for sub 10% ownership at pitcher.
Yeah, pretty wild. But when you look at the pitching options on the slate, it starts to make sense. I don't think that's surprising just when you look at who's actually pitching tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Corbin against the Dodgers, no. Hendricks against Arizona at Chase Field, no. Wade Miley, just no strikeout stuff there against San Diego. Tough matchup. Renato Lopez against Houston. Garrett Whitlock, 8,300 against a Cleveland team that doesn't strike out.
Nope.
Yeah, this is Hunter Brown against Atlanta. Hunter Brown got absolutely trashed last time out by Kansas City. Matter of fact, he didn't make it out of the first inning. Now, that isn't to say that he can't get a bounce back for him. You know what his fantasy score was in that game?
I do, because I played him in a bunch of my lineups, like negative 22, something like that.
Negative 23.7.
Yeah, so I was slightly off. I'll say this about Hunter Brown. I mean, it's against Atlanta, so it's not like I'm going to recommend him. He is way better than a $6,500 pitcher.
I agree with that.
So, like, there's that. It's just, how actionable is that against Atlanta, you know?
Yeah, he's very cheap. He's very, the argument to be made here would be, like, all right, how many people are going to end up, assuming he starts, going to a 6K Landon Knack? How many people are going to go to $7,200 Jose Quintana? How many of these guys are going to get ownership where you think that Hunter Brown now becomes viable because he's in that same price range and he's entirely unowned, coming off. I'm going to go out on a limb. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt and chat. The worst pitching performance yet of 2024?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Right? Like, I can't think of anyone else that's been blown up to that extent, hasn't gotten out of the first inning.
I thought you were going to say in the history of MLB DFS, and no, I wasn't going to argue happened. With you. No, it has, happened. But it doesn't happen a lot where the starter can't get out of the first inning and they're just letting him wear it. I mean, they wanted him to keep going. He had just thrown too many pitches.
At that point, you have to at least try to let him get out of the
inning. I know. There was one Dylan Bundy start against Kansas City, I remember years ago, where he was similar to Hunter Brown. But man, I honestly bet you that's one of the top five worst starting pitching performances of the past however many years.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
How can it get much worse, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. It was, I can't think of, certainly not this season. There's been nothing this season that's come even remotely close to that.
But no, Bailey Ober got crushed by the Dodgers in his first start, but it wasn't anything like this.
No. I will say, maybe you're on to something. I mean, listen, this is going to, and anyone that's running out Hunter Brown is not going to feel good about it. Understand him, right? Like, you're just not going to feel good about that. But there's some other guys. I mean, and by the way, Atlanta striking out around a league average clip versus righties so far, 21%. Do you think Landon Knack really is going to be this popular if he starts at 6K?
I'm not sure. What do you have him projected ownership wise?
And you're right, Steven. Yeah, AJ Puck was bad in his first start, but no, it wasn't that.
I think that was walks
first, right?
Yeah, he was just walking a ton of guys.
What do I have ownership at for Knack?
Yeah, because I don't see him.
Unless we updated and pulled him.
I see Yarbrough. Is you talking about the Dodger starter?
Oh, well, I just updated it. That's we pulled it. We changed starters. Okay. So I wonder if we got word on Ryan Yarbrough starting today.
I see, like, on Action Network, they have Yarbrough starting.
When I started this, when I did all this like 30 minutes ago, we had Knack and he was probable as well. So I don't know. It's a guessing game at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's so early. That's one of the things about doing a show this early. It's great, but it's only 8 o'clock there also.
Well, with that in mind now, then it's going to be taking, because we had Knack getting ownership, which, by the way, I think against Washington, he should be. You can say he doesn't strike out and all that stuff. Doesn't really matter. Or I'm saying Washington doesn't strike out. Doesn't really matter if you get a guy that cheap that's, you know, expected to be pretty good. But with that out of the equation, let's see how ownership has changed. Jared Jones against the Mets. Quintana has come up to 18%. Kikuchi at 13%. Dylan Cease at 11%. You still have Green, Gilbert, and Lynn up there at the top, though.
And honestly, I even think it's going to be more concentrated than this. Like, I don't think that?
You think so?
I don't think, like, I think some of this, like, I don't think 10% of the field is going to play Hunter Brown personally. And again, these numbers might change as we move throughout the day. Same with maybe Rodon gets that ownership. I don't think Quintana is going to be that high owned. Like, Green, Gilbert, Lynn really stand out to me on this slate. So I'm sure they stand out to a lot of people.
Ron said Knack 2%, if that. Ron, if
no way.
If Knack started, you would be so wildly far off that I can't even put a number on. At 6K against Washington, if Landon Knack started, probably the highest owned pitcher on the site.
I think he'd be comparable with the guy that's getting love right now. Maybe he'd be the highest. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
I think you'd still see a sub-4 implied total for Washington.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers' bullpen is good. Washington's offense is not good.
I mean, think about it. Even if he's not the highest owned, there's no way that Knack would come in lower than like 20%.
I agree. I do think you're almost considering ownership as if you were 4K, which is a big difference. Like, I think you're right.
It's a big difference. It's a big difference, except there aren't a lot of cheap pitchers today that are even remotely viable, number one, and it's the Washington Nationals. Like, yeah. Do you think people would be going to J.P. Sears or Landon Knack, who's also much more likely to get the win?
Definitely of the cheap pitchers, he'll be by far the highest owned. And maybe Corbin, you're right.
Corbin or Knack? Wade Miley or Knack?
Yeah.
Kyle Hendricks or Knack? I'm just saying, look at your alternatives here. I don't see anything that's even remotely viable.
I agree with that. I guess it will also depend on like how expensive the stacks are. And we have the Dodgers on this slate. So I'm sure that will be a popular construction. Him and Dodgers.
Against Corbin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not out here saying that like Landon Knack is some, you know, spectacular play. It just the price point and the matchup. I think it would make a difference. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I see projections for him around like a 22-23% strikeout rate at the major league level. Yeah. Pretty sure that's something that would, you know, interest some people. Either way.
Yeah.
Jordan, do me a favor. Rerun The Sims, please, now that Landon Knack is out of it. Refresh that and rerun that so we can see what the results look like. I assume Hunter Green's still going to be up there. Also, guys, NBA play-ins start today. So we'll call it the playoffs. You got Warriors, and you've got the Kings, you've got Pelicans and Lakers. 50%. We're doing this, by the way, only for live stream viewers. So only if you're watching after the fact, it counts too. But if you're watching any of our shows today, MLB, NBA, whatever that may be, right here on the Stochastic YouTube channel, you're getting 50% off a weekly Sims package. First payment, NBA Sims Max Weekly, 50% off. Boom. That simple. There are no strings attached. By the way, Jokic, why did we select that picture? He looks like he's dying. Wow. He looks like he's 70 years old, and he got face swapped with a version of Rob Dyrdek. Do you not see that?
I see what you're seeing. Like, I don't personally see that. I think it's like face is just looks augmented in this picture, but I see what you're saying. That's why I'm chuckling.
Rob Dyrdek's eyes and mouth right there. Anyway, 50% off Sims Max package for the first week. Gets, dude, first of all, a lot of games, first round of the playoffs. So if you bounced, welcome back 50% off. If you wanted to try it out, I know it's an MLB show, and we have all of the MLB Sims lineup generator, all of the packages down below for all of that as well. If you're looking to get in on the MLB tools, the, you know, preeminent tools out there, the best you're going to find. But for now, 50% off. If you're watching on our shows, any of them, only on our shows, link in the description and in chat, 50% off Sims Weekly Max. That's the Sims, the contest generator, the post-contest simulator, ownership, boom bust tool, player projections, premium Discord, lineup generator, everything on the site, 50% off. I'm excited for it. Very much excited for it. Anyway, the hell was I talking about? Oh, the Sims. Yeah, that's right. The Sims will change once we rerun that. But, oh, you know what I wanted to say? I'm all over the map today. Do you think it's possible? So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the NBA. I know Sean V has. You probably have, Matt. If whoever wins this 7 or 8 gets the reward of facing the Denver Nuggets, whoever finishes 8th faces OKC. I saw Eric saying it in his betting show today on Odd Shopper too, and I totally agree. I would not. I would much rather play OKC.
Yeah, so would I, but losers lose. Like, winners win, losers lose. So I don't think the Lakers can go in tonight being like, oh, we're going to lose this game, then risk their season in a one-game scenario against the Kings or Lakers. Like, the Lakers are going to have to beat the Nuggets anyways.
I'm not
Cavs did that same pussy shit where they lost to Charlotte on Sunday so they could get Orlando in the first round. Now they're matched up. Even if they beat Orlando, they have Boston in the second round. And it's also, there's progress that they made it out of the first round if they did. Lakers aren't going to do that. I think they're going
to
win.
I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm saying it sucks that you have to face Denver.
Agreed.
I would rather, as good as OKC is, they're young. And we've seen this. Young teams, stellar regular seasons, get into the postseason. It's an entirely different game. So, yeah. Anyway, come join us for The Sims. Jump in the premium Discord. We'd love to have you guys. 50% off everything. Razor, if I get the data package, is the lineup generator covered with that, or is it separate? I've always just paid and don't know. Let me check. I know that we throw in a actual version of the Sims, though, Razor Ramon. We throw in a light version of the Sims, which is going to do you more than the lineup generator anyway. So, yeah. This is the data package. He's talking all access data package. Oh, you get, okay. You get a lineup generator with that. All right. There's your answer, brother. Yep. Lineup generator as well. That's a good package. All right. So I got to ask you about Lance Lynn. 8,400 at Oakland. This is one of those guys who, you know, he went up against Philly last time out and got tagged with the loss. But it wasn't because he gave up any home runs in Philly, Matt. It's because he walked 4. He only gave up 1 hit in 5 innings. He just labored through them because he couldn't keep guys off the base paths, issuing free passes. Now you've got a matchup in Oakland against the A's. But his price is priced like a Lance Lynn who's facing the A's in Oakland.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think he's my favorite pitcher on the slate because of the matchup. But I don't know. It's still Lance Lynn. The troubles against lefties continue. Oakland, while they're not going to be good lefties, probably going to throw a bunch of him at him tonight. I don't know. He looks good just because the rest of the slate doesn't have much in terms of appealing pitching options. We talked about Green and Gilbert. Those guys look great. Dylan Cease looks good, but he's expensive. After that, there isn't much aside from Lynn. Than the upside of Jared Jones. So I'm never going to love Lynn, especially when he's getting this ownership, but I find it damn hard to not at least have him on high on the short list here, if nothing else.
I like him. I agreed with the ownership, but maybe there's just different ways to get different. Like Oakland, second highest K rate versus righties this year, almost 500 plate appearances. So we're beginning to see an actual sample that we can, you know, kind of point towards, right? 116 isolated slugging. So 116 ISO, that's 27th. They're second in K rate, 27th in ISO. WRC plus, 81 WRC plus is bottom four. There's not a lot of redeeming qualities here. Unless you're looking at this lineup, Matt, and you're saying, well, there's some real power lefties that concern me.
I mean, I wouldn't say that they concern me. It's just Lynn against anyone hitting left-handed, I guess, is all it is.
Yeah. It's a good spot.
Even with the lefties, like it's still Oakland in Oakland.
Yeah.
Lynn should carve here. It's just Lance Lynn. So he's almost one of these guys where the matchup doesn't matter because if he's on, you know, he's going to get most guys out, strike a lot of guys out. And if he's off, he's not. But this is an extreme good matchup. So, yeah, I like him here.
Jordan, you reran that? All right, let's see the Sims real quick. So, Hunter Green, we're still getting a lot of. We're 22% Lance Lynn. Okay, so right around the field there. Now, do this. Go to stacks. Go to stack exposure. I want to see if we have Oakland. Do we have any Oakland? All right, a little bit. I've said this to you. You said this to me, especially last start against Philly and Philly. Like, Lance Lynn's a good pitching option, and the Philly stacks were a good option. Would you consider some Oakland stacks at a discount today?
Consider, yeah, if I were multi-entering, you know, playing 150, sure. More than likely, though, I think you're better off just picking a couple bats if you're going to go with that route. Seth Brown, probably really cheap and has upside here. They've got some guys you can pick out. I'd have trouble, like, five-man stacking them, but I don't think it's the worst play in the world considering their price tags.
All right. So we touched on Green, Gilbert, Lynn, Dylan Cease, Hunter Brown, a lot of these guys. Anyone else you want to dig into a little bit here? Jared Jones getting love against the Mets, Quintana against Pittsburgh, Kikuchi getting some ownership against the Yankees, coming off a great start last time out against, you guessed it, Seattle Mariners. What other spots could we look towards today? Maybe guys getting ownership or just leverage spots.
I think the only other guy worth at least talking about at length is Jared Jones. He's been phenomenal to start the season. Highly regarded prospect, pitched great in spring training, so got the call up right away. Has been really, really good. Now, he hovers around the zone, so he's going to give up some power, but gotta like the strikeout upside we've seen from him. This is a Mets team that doesn't scare you. They don't strike out a lot. This is the prototypical kind of what you said with Lynn. I could see Jones and the Mets stack being GPP viable here.
I'm mildly interested in Kikuchi.
I'm not, but go ahead.
What about him do you not like? Of course, facing the Yankees, is that just don't want to touch him against the Yankees?
It's that. I'm not going to say, like, maybe I was too harsh when I said I'm not. His strikeout upside puts him in play. Now, he's more expensive than he'd been, but the ownership has come down. I hate the matchup.
I don't like the matchup either. I get it. But, you know, this is a guy that is flat. These Toronto pitchers at home also. What is it about Toronto pitchers at home? It's kind of crazy. But 39. He has a monster K rate over the last two seasons, almost a 30% strikeout rate at home. He's been good. He struggled a bit in his first start, but striking out 31% of batters this season. This is just one of those spots to me that could go both ways. And quite frankly, Yankee bats are mildly appealing to me as well. He's still somebody that in 2022 allowed over two home runs per nine, 1.5 home runs per nine last year. But then you go, on the other hand, 27, 26, 30% strikeout rate. This feels like both sides are viable to me. I don't know. Tell me what you think. Chat, tell me what you think. Like, is Kikuchi to you just wildly out of play and you'd look towards the Yankees? Are you fading both sides of this? I mean, I see the power, but I also see some strikeouts.
I actually like the Kikuchi side more than the Yankees just because of this slate. So I don't love Kikuchi, but he is, like, after the three guys I mentioned, Lynn, Gilbert and Green, I think Kikuchi's right in that next group. The Yankees are really expensive, and I think there's multiple teams that look better than the Yankees with all the shitty pitching tonight.
I guess now the question becomes, like, do you go back to Quintana against Pittsburgh, 18%? He seems to be owned every single slate. It's been a bunch of short slates that he's been on, but or at least last one. He doesn't excite me. Carlos Rodon doesn't excite me. And I'm not touching any of these guys down there at Sears, Henry, Lopez, Singer's. That price point on Singer's wild. Well, he's getting less than 1% ownership against the White Sox right now.
That's only because of weather. Like, Singer would be one of my favorite pitchers on the slate. That game is, like, red all over. Probably going to get postponed early.
You don't think it plays?
I don't.
Okay.
And I have to think that the ownership is so low on all sides of that game, the Royals stack and Singer, because of that.
Yeah. Another starter for the White Sox, back-to-back days, that isn't even in the player pool, Jonathan Cannon.
Jesus.
It's crazy. But
it's week three.
Good for them. I'm serious. Good for them. They're going nowhere fast. What?
In what sense good for them?
They're going nowhere fast. Faster than anybody else. Fuck it. Get as many young arms out there and use the entirety of the season to see what you have. I see so many other bad teams throw out these retread pitchers that are never going to get them anywhere, and you don't really care what they have. You're just trying to get through 6 months of the year. In this case, hey, let's see what we have. Maybe these guys end up being great, and maybe next year we figured out our rotation. Maybe by the end of this year we figured out we got our guys. We got a real rotation. If not, all right, cut them loose.
I totally agree with that. The reason I'm, like, questioning their whole motive is they just signed Tommy Pham yesterday, and they have Robbie Grossman leading off. So what is it exactly that they're doing? I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, but you're also dealing with, I mean, those injuries to the lineup are significant.
I'm with you, though. Like, compared to the Rockies, who are throwing out, like, Dakota Hudson and Cal Quantrill, like, why? At least these guys might be even worse, but one of them might be good. I'm with that.
And I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, just make the whole start. I mean, you can't take everyone on the team and just make
I know.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a Phillies fan. I've suffered through some terrible, terrible years. I promise you, I would have rather us experiment. It's like Ben Rossa always says, you know, in football, where you're going nowhere, you're terrible. Experiment with different type of play calls, wild stuff. You know, in this case, bring some guys up, see what they can do. If they stink, you're no worse for wear. It makes no difference. You would have lost anyway, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, you're right. This game probably does not play. Will be interesting if it does, though. Wind's blowing in from center at close to 20 miles per hour.
If it plays, Singer could be my favorite pitcher on the slate. He's been good this year. This White Sox lineup is atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah. Razor, you call me Dave. It's fine, brother. Said, I don't know why I called you Dave. Everyone in the real world mostly calls me Dave.
It's funny how that works. Like, in different circles, you have different names.
Yeah. My mom calls me David. She's the only one. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, did we cover everything for pitching? I think we hit on a lot here.
Yeah, I think we hit on everything.
Last thing I want to point out to you, Matt, in this Sims run, we are getting a decent amount of Kikuchi. And I think a lot of that is just because, you know, the leverage we're getting there is pretty significant. And he's not pulling a ton of ownership. There are strikeouts. It is at a park where, you know, these starters have excelled. I'm a little uncomfortable with that much exposure. My guess is it comes down throughout the day. But we are – the Sims is giving us some Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think after Green and Gilbert, there's question marks all over. So Kikuchi, you know, probably right there with Lynn is like the next best of the bunch.
Let's talk some stacks here. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Oh, and Sleeper. I don't know how you guys are there yet, but if it's available to you, $500 first match deposit bonus. And guess what, friends? A little free square action today. If you're a new user and you sign up, you get up to a $500 first match deposit bonus. That's massive. Biggest of any pick'em site out there. But LeBron James, free square. 26.5 points discounted down to a half a point. Fuck, man. Play-in basketball is actually fun. The NBA does some dumb stuff. The play-ins are fun. I already got a load of bets down for these games. But if you're on Sleeper, particularly in non-legal betting states, you can up to 100 extra entries. My recommendation is don't go that crazy. You're just going to be throwing money away. But they have multipliers where you can take home runs. You can take double-doubles, right? You can take touchdown scores. Because instead of it just being standard odds, like minus 110 to minus 125, which is where they usually are comfortable putting them without removing the hook as Prize Picks does, or I'm sorry, as Underdog does, and Prize Picks, I think, too, right? You got multipliers. So if it's like a plus 400 home run, you're getting a 4X multiplier. So you get 4X when you add that to your card. Very, very cool format. Nice little interface, solid app, and a huge deposit bonus, plus a free square for new users today. LeBron James over half a point. Link in the description and in chat if you're not on Sleeper yet. All right, give me your top stack out of the gate. Say you're playing one lineup. Playing one lineup, who's your top stack?
I'm going to say Arizona. I think there's a few up top that look really good. I like Arizona at home against Hendricks. I think their lineup sets up really, really nicely against him. They're third in our top stack tool, projected to be under-owned. So as of right now, it's Arizona. How about you?
I like Arizona a lot. I like the Dodgers. I don't know how feasible it's going to be to get there. And I think that's why Knack, when we had him projected earlier in the show, I think that's why Knack was getting so much ownership. Because it made it way easier to play this Dodgers team.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's why Knack himself would be wildly in play.
St. Louis against Sears, not a great play. So it's an okay spot. Boston against Tanner Bibee. Oddly enough, you look at some of these and there aren't great pitchers, but there also aren't that many good stacking options either. Like, I could definitely see why you'd go Arizona against Hendricks. Cubs against Tommy Henry. The reason that stands out is look at the value score in our top stacks tool, right? So they right now, you don't see this very often, my friends. For those of you that, for those of you that have been using the top stacks tool for a while, or even just watching the show and paying attention to this, you would know that when a team has the second highest top stack probability, let's just say the highest, they're essentially tied with the Dodgers, right? 11.3, 11.5, we're splitting hairs. And they also have the second highest value score behind only the White Sox. And the only reason the White Sox have that is because they're dirt cheap and they're getting no ownership, but doesn't matter. They have a 1% top stack probability. The Chicago team against the left-handed Henry today in Arizona, at least if you're looking from our tools perspective, looks shockingly good.
And under-owned. Never see a team in the top stack tool grade out this well from just a top stack perspective and value and coming in with leverage. Now, they are the second highest owned team on the slate. but not worried about it at all. I'm sure most of that ownership is jumbled with the top of the lineup guys. No Suzuki hurts their lineup, but this is a play against Tommy Henry. I like the Cubs quite a bit. I like both sides of this game.
Jordan, what are we getting to Cubs exposure in the Sims? Okay, yeah, there you go. Do me a favor, sort by five-man stacks. Second highest. And you know what? If that Kansas City game does, in fact, get postponed, my guess is we get even more Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I say that. Because Kansas City, as a top stack or as a stack in general, they are not a value stack, but they're not quite as expensive as like the Dodgers and the Braves. So I think it's just going to boost Chicago even more. 15% five-mans on Chicago. I'm looking at it, just eyeballing this. We're at what, 20, around 25, 26%, 27% Chicago Cubs stacks between three, four, and five-mans in the Sims today.
That's kind of why I like Arizona. They're going to fall through the cracks, in my opinion, because they're not as cheap as the Cubs. And when people are spending up, they're going to go to the Dodgers and the Braves.
Let's take a look at some potential contrarian options here. I mean, I think the Yankees are always viable, and Kikuchi has definitely suffered from real homer problems over the years. They don't look good in the tool. I'll say that much right now. They don't. One of the lower stack scorers on the slate is the New York Yankees. St. Louis, though, against J.P. Sears, I think you could always make an argument for that. I will say, San Diego against Wade Miley, I just never love stacking against Wade Miley. I don't think he's particularly good, but he just isn't the type of guy to get blown up, you know, start after start.
No, he's not even a little bit. I rarely stack against him. I will say, this Padres lineup sets up very well against any lefty, especially a guy that doesn't throw that hard. So they're cheap. They're a little bit over-owned, but I don't hate the Padres. They're just not my favorite stack on the board. And as far as the Yankees go, I thought I would like them more. I don't really like them at all. They're low in the top stack tool. They have a low top stack score. They're right behind Boston as far as top stack percentage goes. They have a lower value percentage, and they're getting more ownership. Give me the Red Sox.
All right. I have one more for you. And by the way, guys, in chat, I'm reading chat the whole time. You have any stacks? You have any questions? Want us to pull up some tools? Do our best to do so. You have any spots you like? Let us know. Happy to engage. How about, drum roll please, Matt, the Atlanta Braves. Now, obviously this is more of a recency bias thing, but I have to ask you anyway, right? Because Hunter Brown clearly coming off a dreadful start. You said, you know, possibly the worst start ever. Got annihilated.
Not ever. Not ever.
No, I know. His velocity looked fine. Oh, wow. Astros Hunter Brown set MLB record for most hits allowed in under an inning pitch. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, they were really letting him wear it. Like, they did not want to take him out because they had to go to their bullpen the day before. I was watching pieces of this.
Dude, this just makes me want to play Hunter Brown. Like, it doesn't make me want to stack Atlanta. It makes me want to play Hunter Brown. Do you know what his BABIP is this year? Just take a guess what his BABIP. Guys, take a guess. What's Hunter Brown's BABIP this year?
Oof. You're asking the chat, so I'll...
I'm asking you, too.
It's got to be crazy high. I'm going to say 420.
583.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. I've never even heard of a BABIP that high.
No. Batting average on balls in play, my friends.
I wonder how much it went up from just the last game because he only got...
Oh, for sure. But still, what I'm saying is
That's nuts.
I'm not saying he was good, don't get me wrong, but he was still kind of babbipped to death in that start as well. I think he gave up.
Oh, yeah, he was. A lot of up the middle grounders.
I think it was 10 singles.
Yeah, you're so right about that. And the other thing about this, he's good. He's not like some journeyman, middle of the road type guy. Like, he's a potential upper tier, you know, top of the rotation type starter. So if this were against anyone else but the Braves or most other teams, I'd be very interested in 6,500 Hunter Brown. Hell, I played him last week whenever he was close to 8K against Kansas City. His price tag puts him in play, but ultimately, I think I'll probably just not stack Atlanta and not play him either.
833 BABIP last start.
That's insane.
But the start before that was 538. And the start before that was 364.
I didn't think I was going to be so far off when I said 420.
Dude, he's not allowing that much hard contact. Oh my God. Guess how many barreled balls he's allowed all year on three starts?
That's going to be low. Tell me.
One.
Wow.
One barrel.
This is all this stuff is definitely making me more interested in playing him tonight.
It's crazy. And like, you know, you're right. Maybe this is just the wrong spot to play him. He's also, I don't want to just act like this is all bad luck. He's not missing bats at all. Like that's the biggest thing. He's not missing bats. His outside swing percentage is 20%, which is wild. So like they're just swinging at nothing outside of the zone. 90% zone contact, 5.8% swinging strike rate. So maybe there's something beneath the surface that is actually not good, but there's just no way that he's as bad as he's been based on these results through his first three starts.
Totally agree with that. My problem tonight is this Atlanta team not missing it's a recipe for disaster. Like, again, I respect Brown a lot, so I probably won't prioritize Atlanta, but it's Atlanta facing a pitcher who seemingly can't miss any bats.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. SportsWiz says, Matt, even if we assume Atlanta bats are quiet, he's not beating out other starting pitchers. You can have him. Look, I don't think I'm all that interested tonight, but this is good information for us to have going forward. You know what I mean? Like, this is very good information for us to have going forward, especially if he's not great tonight and he's 6K next start and he's facing like a pedestrian offense.
Yeah. I don't even need, even if you play him tonight, you don't need him to beat all the other pitchers.
Right.
Serviceable, and then whatever stack like the Dodgers you use, which other people aren't going to be able to get to, go off.
Yeah, like what if he beats out the other 6 and 7K pitchers, and then everybody who paid up and double tapped two expensive pitchers, their stack doesn't do anything for him because they had to go cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, kind of saw it, didn't see it exactly play out last night, but like a lot of people who played Glasnow were, you know, forced into a lineup construction that didn't play out well because Glasnow wasn't good. And
yeah,
most of the popular stacks weren't either.
This is why talking about baseball is fun, because there's so many wrinkles to everything.
So many wrinkles. I like what you said, like on our first show or whatever, you can manipulate the numbers to kind of form whatever shape you want. And I love that.
Oh, it's so true, man. Like if I just gave you Hunter Brown's
right. Strikeout rate. Great example.
Yeah.
Like perfect example right there.
Yeah. Like it's just, there's so much going on. I think he'll settle in. Anyway. Razor said, I can't wait to try this Sims Lite thing out. Yeah, dude. And Greg did some amazing tutorials. Watch them. He did an MLB one, all that stuff. So be sure to check that out before it'll help you out. It'll take you a long way, Ramon, for sure. And if you ever have any questions, hit us up. Our DMs are open. Jump in the Discord. Say what's up. We'll wrap it up with this. The prophecy said Hendricks about to get rocked 10 runs tonight against Arizona. Well, you like this Arizona spot. Kyle Hendricks has been no stud by any stretch. I'll tell you this much, Matt. I'm not sure I could massage the numbers to make Kyle Hendricks look good.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. A lot to like about Arizona here. Hendricks stinks. I respect his, he's a wily vet that knows how to pitch, but his days seem to be running really numbered. He's not like as bad as Adam Wainwright was last year, but he looks like one of these guys that you want to have exposure to the offense every time he's on the mound. And I like Arizona a lot here. It's nothing more than a play on Hendricks, and this lineup has a lot of upside in terms of power and some stolen base equity.
The amount of times I bet under on Adam Wainwright's strikeouts last year was unending. I couldn't tell you how many times. Dude, that got real bad. Real bad. The guy just could not miss a single bat. It was crazy.
You felt uncomfortable watching him pitch. Like, you literally felt bad for him.
I know. It was rough. Especially for a guy who has a prestigious career, too.
Right. That was part of what made you feel even worse about it. It's like, damn.
I hate when players run it out too far.
Same. He's the perfect example of it. Like, just, yeah. It's why is he still running out there, getting tagged by 100% with you.
Like, Roy Halladay could see the end was coming, of his career. And look, big Roy Halladay fan here.
Same.
He was, he threw a perfect game for the Phillies. Never got a World Series with him, but threw a perfect game and a no-hitter in the same season. I still remember where I was for both of those.
Didn't he throw one in the playoffs too?
Yeah, against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then
he was amazing for Toronto also.
Against the Marlins, he threw a perfect game. People forget this. The Phillies won that game 1-0. And the only reason they scored was because Cameron Maybin in center field made an error. So they scored on an error. Pretty crazy. But he knew when to hang it up. He could see that it was getting close, Anyway. Hey, follow Matt at Fantasy Tips Matt, me at Laffy_D. As always, really appreciate you guys hanging out, watching these every day. I know basketball's still happening, but baseball is fun. And live before lock tonight. Matt and I'll be back with you tomorrow, live before lock, I believe. It should be 11 or 12. I'm assuming it's going to be 12 o'clock show. There's like 8 or 9 early games, hardly any late games. So be here with us for that. Remember, for a brief time only, if you're watching these shows, 50% off and an NBA Sims Max package for the weekly, 50% off everything. That includes not just Sims, but every single tool on the site. So be sure to check that out. If you have questions, hit me up. Thanks to Jordan for producing this one. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow. Peace.